You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, so I just read a tweet. Abilene Christian, head coach, got a $1,000 bonus for making the tournament. John Calipari makes $21,900 per day.
Jeez. Fantastic.
Holy. I want to send the Abilene coach some money.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Jay Kokorowski here. We had a lot of podcasts last week. We got a couple more probably coming sometime this week, too. We have, obviously, we'll probably get more position previews. I got to talk to John Veldheis from BadgerBlitz.com to kind of figure out when we'll do more position previews for the podcast. Hopefully, we'll get someone on from Addicted to Quack, our SB Nation site that covers the Oregon Ducks, and we'll preview that matchup a little bit more in detail, getting an opposing point of view, hopefully later this week as well. But we are here. Owen Reese is here. We have Drew Hamm as well, making his return to Bucky's Fifth Podcast. And we are here to talk about, it's not an emergency podcast because we didn't do it last night, but it is the March Madness podcast. It is basically just seeing this, detailing out the tournament. Wisconsin, number 5 seed in the South region, but they're playing in San Jose because that makes sense. They're taking on number 12 seed and Pac-12 tournament champion, the Oregon Ducks. And boys, your initial reactions to this entire, to everything.
Oh, and I'm going to let you go first because I have to compose myself.
I don't know. I thought it was probably about right. I figured they might sneak their way into a 4. They probably needed to beat Michigan State to do that, though, and I don't think that would have really affected Michigan State's seeding, but we'll get into that in a second. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty wild that a 12 seed is a conference champion from a Power 5 conference. The Pac-12 is pretty garbage, but the fact remains. I don't think we see that very often. Typically, those 12 seeds are like the last at-large Power 5 schools. So I was a bit surprised to see that, because I saw right away, I saw people tweeting like, oh, Oregon again. And I figured that they were going to be like an 8-9 or something, like some potential where you would get them in the second round like it was a couple years ago. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to pretend to be nearly as knowledgeable about the college basketball scope as I would have been 7 or 8 years ago. It is what it is. Ultimately, like, you got to beat everybody to win anyways. So while it's probably not a super advantageous 12 or 5-12 matchup, it is what it is. I think Wisconsin is still capable of beating nearly any team in the tournament. It just kind of depends on which UW team shows up.
I, on the other hand, am definitely willing to pretend I'm super knowledgeable about college basketball this year. And I kind of thought that Wisconsin got slightly jobbed on their seeding. I thought they could have been the last 4 seed. But at the end of the day, I don't think it matters if you're really a 4 seed or a 5 seed. Like Owen mentioned, Oregon comes from a trash conference filled with trash teams. And just because they've won 8 games in a row, you have to remember that all of those teams are filled with those trash players. So it's not like they were beating anybody good. They've also lost to UCLA twice and mm-hmm. Texas Southern, who I didn't even know was a Division I school. They also lost to Iowa. So, like, let's not get all crazy about Oregon here. I think it'll be fun to beat them again.
It's one thing where I think you hit it on the head. And if you guys go to Bucky's Fifth Quarter, folks that are listening, we have a quick article up. We'll have a team Q&A up with Addicted to Quack sometime later this week, probably Thursday-ish, and maybe an updated look with of Oregon too. But we gave a quick look at some team stats. You know, there's some things that are interesting about them. Obviously, their defense stands out. They're a top 20 team in opponents' points per game allowed. They are among the top 12, 10-ish in opponent three-point percentage. Teams are only, shooting 29.4% from deep against them. They're among the top 25 teams in the nation in steals per game. And, they're adjusted in terms of KenPom. Adjusted defensive efficiency is 92.5. That is 18th in the nation. And even their block percentage, 14.5%, that's 12th in the country. So defensively, this is almost, I'm not going to say looking in the mirror, obviously, but it's going to be a defensive game probably, maybe. They score more points than Wisconsin. But you mentioned it too, though, Drew. They lost to Texas Southern in November. That's number 214 in KenPom.
That was when they had their best player still.
Yeah, yep. 7'2" Bol Bol, who only played 9 games and was averaging almost 22 points a game, and he's out. But then UCLA, number 10, number 110 in KenPom as of today. And they lost both, in January and February. So really, they are right in the we shouldn't discount the 8-game winning streak, because that's a hot winning streak. They're playing as best, probably the best basketball that they've played this year. And how they just, I think maybe the most impressive part, and maybe this is what people get caught up on right now, Drew and Owen, let me know if you guys disagree with this, but the fact, the way that they dismantled,
I disagree. Washington.
Okay, great. Thank you. 68-48. That 20-point victory over Washington in the Pac-12 tournament final, I think, stands out. I mean, that's impressive play. And you had, a point guard that Wisconsin tried to recruit in Peyton Pritchard, who's averaging 12, almost 13 points a game, 4.5 assists, 84% free throw shooter, and he scored 20 points, grabbed 6 rebounds, dished out 7 assists, and then recorded 4 steals in the championship game against Washington. So you have guys like that and freshman forward Lewis King and even a guy like Kenny Wooten, who I think with Wisconsin, and we'll get into the matchup in just a second, guys, but 7 rebounds, 4 blocks in the Pac-12 tournament championship. It's a guy that's averaging 2 blocks a game, which is similar to what Nate Reavers is doing right now. And if Wisconsin can't hit the threes, they're trying to get in the, make points in the paint. Well, they've had trouble finishing around the rim all year, and that could pose problems, especially if Wisconsin goes cold in, from deep, and you're not seeing Demetric Trice or Brad Davis and Brevin Pritzel, Aleem Ford hitting from deep.
To be honest, I think Wooten's like the X factor. If Wisconsin's able to, here's the deal. If Kenny Wooten wants to block every shot that Ethan Happ fakes, then Wisconsin's going to be in good shape. But if he stays on the ground, I remember I watched him at some point earlier in the year, and who knows what state of mind Bill Walton was in. But I remember at some point them talking about that, like, he has some, like, 7'6" wingspan or something obnoxious. And with a guy like Happ who doesn't play with a ton of elevation around the rim, if Wooten stays disciplined and, like, doesn't try to block every single shot, I think he could – how he plays Happ, I think, will dictate how the game goes, to be honest.
Yeah, Kenny Wooten is a load down low, and he plays tough physical defense. And if Happ can stay out of foul trouble and even get Wooten into foul trouble, I think the Badgers will have a really good chance.
And that kind of leads into the key matchups. And we talked about Kenny Wooten. And kind of looking at KenPom, and not to go too deep into this, and obviously their projections, right? If I'm not mistaken, Drew, you know more about. I'm diving into the KenPom pool as I've started to cover this team for the second consecutive season. Right now, KenPom has a projection, of a 61-56 victory, a 68% projection of a victory. My question is: it just simply, and maybe this is what. This is what the story of the season with Wisconsin, against Michigan and Michigan State and Purdue and Marquette, Indiana. Is it just Wisconsin executing more than anything? Is it them hitting, I'm not going to say Ethan Happ, but others making their free throws? Is it the 3-point shooting? You see the turnovers that they had, that they've had at least 17 turnovers almost a handful of times in particular games. Is it, in your opinion, is it just Wisconsin finally clicking on a good number of cylinders to get over this hump and get over the first round win or first round tournament game to get the win?
So I think there's honestly something to be said about the entire upper half of the South region, is that a lot of these teams play very stylistically similarly. Oregon and Wisconsin both have glacial pace. Oregon's average possession length is 19 seconds, while the Badgers is 19.9. That's good for 321st in the country for Oregon and 345th for Wisconsin.
Hell yeah.
So they right, you know, go slow, bros. And then you throw Virginia into the mix up at the top there. The thing is, Wisconsin just does it better than Oregon does. They're far more efficient on offense. And they are, while Oregon does have a very good defense, Wisconsin's is, you know, the third most efficient defense in the country. So I don't know if it's even necessarily clicking on all cylinders, as it is just kind of playing our game. And it'll probably end up turning into a good old fashioned Wisconsin Big Ten rock fight.
Yeah. And I think kind of like what Jake said was, you know, does it come down to executing? Like, yeah. Because Wisconsin's not more like up and away talented more than any team they're going to play. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I think ultimately Wisconsin, and like you said, Wisconsin plays in these rock fights all the time. And that's kind of what they're going to have to hope for, because they're going to have to hope that because they're more comfortable in it, that they can, you know, kind of come out on top of that. I know Jay Billis said something last night on the show. He's like, that entire region, other than I believe Tennessee, they're like, every single team plays slow. So, we're more familiar with it, but I mean, Wisconsin, like you mentioned with the pace stuff, they're as comfortable as anybody in these slow games. They played Virginia earlier in the year and neither team combined went over 100 points. And that's the best basketball game that's been played this year. So it's kind of just one of those things where when games are like that, when the margin for error is so low, when both teams are so good defensively and both offenses aren't juggernauts, executing really is everything. And while we say this, kind of make these narratives somewhat tongue in cheek, it really kind of does come down to that.
Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin recently over the past 5 or 6 years hasn't always been like that. Like, people still said that when, you know, Kaminsky and Decker and those guys were going to Final Fours, and it just wasn't true. Well, this right. year's team is a little more stereotypical.
Yeah. When they could score, when they had good players. Yeah, they did, but now they don't. So, now we're back to the 7-minute scoring droughts, which raised my teenage years.
Oh, baby. 7-minute scoring droughts gets me going. I love it.
You hit it on the head too, Owen, with this, where this team, yeah, we know we talk about executing, but you said this team could compete with anybody in the nation, and they did it against Virginia in November, where they lost by, was it a 6 or 7 points? And then, I mean, you've seen this team be able to compete game and game. You know, that loss against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament, they had chances. They pulled within 6, in the second half, and just that scoring drought, you know, and missing 9 straight shots obviously did not help. But they still kept it relatively close until Michigan State started making those shots. The big thing for me, and this team has been, you have what Happ's been doing, and you know, he had 20 points against, or, you know, against Michigan State, return to form compared to what he played against Nebraska and his performance there. But, you know, I kind of want to talk about the shooting, where the consistency, I mean, Demetric Trice was going to regress to the mean, but he's fallen off pretty significantly. Brad Davidson hasn't made as many shots like that lately, outside of one game. But I guess just what do you expect out of this team shooting from deep? If Oregon clogs up the middle, especially with Wooten, I mean, and even Reavers for that matter, with his inside out game, but also just trying to hit it. You know, he's had some open shots and he's missed them. Just, I guess, is there a percentage that they have to hit where that keeps Oregon honest? Or, I mean, obviously you want them to hit all of them, but I guess I'm more worried about what Wisconsin can do from deep and to alleviate any double teams possibly from Hap or onto Hap, or, you know, or just letting this, you know, become get out of hand early where they're going on these cold streaks where they're going 2-8 from the field early on, while maybe Oregon, you know, lights it up a little bit more.
I don't think it matters so much. I mean, like, obviously it matters how many, like, how well they shoot, but I don't think it's such a big deal on, like, hitting a certain percentage. It needs to be on who and how many guys can hit. Like, Nate Reavers passes up at, like, a maddening amount of semi-open threes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's just that half-second hesitation between shooting a three or not being able to really beat his guy off the dribble, but, like, enough to get to the side of him and then pass it back out. Like, and as we've seen here as the season's gone on, Trice and Davison are going to be blanketed. I mean, those are the two guys on offense that can create their own shot on the perimeter. And they're going to attract the attention. I guess my point is it's going to be, I think Reavers needs to hit a couple. I think that Brevin Pritzel needs to hit a couple. And I think that Aleem Ford needs to hit one, because you're going to get like the typical, you know, when games get tight like this and teams like they regress to who they are. So they're going to feed the ball to Ethan Happ inside. And Trice and Davison are going to shoot a lot, because that's kind of what gives them the best chance to win. But like, it's going to be, they're going to need a Brevin Pritzel against who was it? Penn State, when he like went off, it was like 4 for 4, I think, or 4 or 5 from 3. They're going to need something like that, just like a little spurt from somebody else, because that's in like Khalil Iverson too, not shooting the ball, but that's what I'm saying. Like that tertiary and like fourth guy, those are the guys that you really need. Because Oregon knows exactly what Wisconsin's going to do, and Wisconsin knows exactly what Oregon's going to do. So, I mean, as much as you want to, like, Ethan Happ and Demetric Trice and Brad Davison, like, obviously how they play matters, but Wisconsin, it's going to be just as important as how well Peyton Pritchard and Kenny Wooten and them play, too. But, like, it's going to be that next guy. And whether it's Brevin Pritzel and he hits three threes, or whether it's Aleem Ford hits a couple and kind of keeps the help defense off of Happ honest, or, you know, I think it's not so much the, like, the Badgers need to shoot 45% from three to win. I think it's more so the Badgers need five guys to hit threes type of thing.
I feel like, Owen, you may have snuck into my house while I was out earlier today and looked at all of the notes that I had prepared earlier about Wisconsin's shooting threes. Because that's exactly right. Oregon, they allow so many three-point attempts, and yet somehow their three-point defense is excellent. I think it might just be because their second most used lineup recently has contained four guys who are 6'9", and that's just got to be hard to shoot over. But you're right in that Aleem Ford, Brevin Pritzel, Nate Reavers, they can't be scared to pull the trigger, even if they miss their first one or two. Like, that's what terrifies me the most, is if Brevin Pritzel gets two threes early in the game, early in his playing time, and he misses them both, that he's going to pass up on the third one. Like, yep. They need to keep shooting, because some of them are going to fall, and clearly the shots are going to be there, because that's what Oregon gives up.
So looking deeper then, with the South region, and you talked about it a little bit earlier, and you're doing a great way of like just planting these seeds, by the way, Drew. This is why we have you on and why we love you. Talking about just like this planting. Yeah, you just have a great foreshadowing into what we're going to dive into next. But you have the top four for this South region. You have Virginia, Tennessee, Purdue is a three. And then you have, obviously, Kansas State is a four. And then Wisconsin, where, I guess, in this bracket, I mean, obviously Wisconsin would have to defeat Oregon. And first off, let me ask you that. All right, let's predictions for this game. Right off the bat, do you think Wisconsin takes it? Do you think they advance to the round of 32 to take on either Kansas State or UC Irvine?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in that boat too. I know it's a popular 5-12 pick, and I don't think it's necessarily homerism. Obviously, if Wisconsin can't finish around the rim like they haven't been able to, and Jim Polzin had a great article about that about a month or so back already. But also, I mean, if the shooting goes cold, they're going to be in trouble. But then that's every game that they've been in. Their defense will keep them in it, and we'll see how that goes. But I think Wisconsin takes it. But looking further ahead, if they do make it past the Ducks, how far do you see them going?
Does UC Irvine win?
I've got UC Irvine winning.
Because I think that's what you need. And so, full disclosure, in my bracket, I have Wisconsin winning, and then I have them beating UC Irvine. And then, punishment, I have them winning another rock fight against Virginia to lose to Tennessee.
You crazy bastard. Holy buckets.
But I think that's what needs to happen, because I think that as much – like, obviously, Wisconsin's like a 5 seed, so it's not like we are – it's not like there's some, this underdog story or whatever. But Wisconsin's style just simply doesn't typically bode well to consistently winning games they probably shouldn't unless they get some help. Wisconsin, people forget, they don't teach you this in school. The only reason Wisconsin got to the Elite Eight in 2005 is because Bucknell beat Kansas. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, they need something like that to happen. I believe that was a 4-13 game as well. So roll tide. But I think that was a, no, I take that back. Wisconsin was a 6 seed. Don't listen to me. But that's the kind of stuff I think they need to have happen. They need to have not a gimme game, because it's not, but they need to have a break, because I don't have faith in Wisconsin beating Oregon and Kansas State and Virginia all in a row to get to the Elite Eight. I think that's asking a lot. I think they can win two of those three, and maybe which two of those three could be debatable. But I think you need a break. And like I said, I think if UC Irvine wins, and like UC Irvine's a 30 win team, like I said, that's by no means like some gimme, but I would much rather not have to face like this gauntlet of power five champions and like heavy hitters in order to then get to the Elite Eight.
So my reasoning for Wisconsin beating Oregon is they play similar styles and Wisconsin just does it better. And that is also my reasoning for why Wisconsin can't beat Virginia, because they play similar styles and Virginia just does it better. I do also have UC Irvine beating K-State. K-State is fun, and I'm super happy that they ended Kansas's Big 12 title streak. But K-State has a – well, how do I put this? A bad offense. They don't got Michael Beasley. Yeah, they don't put the ball in the hoop enough. And so I don't think they do well. I think Wisconsin beats UC Irvine. But I just – I would love for them to beat Virginia. I want them to beat Virginia. I just foresee no scenarios where that happens unless Virginia's team bus gets lost on the way to the arena.
Dude, I cannot wait for this 51-41 Sweet 16 game.
That makes one of us.
It'll have everybody on the internet so mad. It'll be great.
I mean, can we talk about that real quick? Where, I mean, look at this bracket. Like, why did they put those teams together in that type of a rock fight? You take a look at Wisconsin, Oregon, which, by the way, they've played it before multiple times this decade. So there's recency there. But then also with Kansas State, the potential for there for the 4-5 matchup, more recency. And on top of that, everyone's playing defense in this bracket, depending on who advances. I guess that got me going. Just trying to figure out, like, people are like, is that going to be a ratings draw where you're going to see like a 45-43 game between Virginia and Wisconsin possibly? But
bro, I don't need to hear about ratings when some school got to the, like, way too far into the tournament and their leading draw was like a 90 something year old woman. Like, I don't need to hear about ratings. People are so get so bent out of that. Like, this is a basketball tournament. This isn't a TV tournament.
And also, Dick Vitale, chicks dig the long ball and also defense.
That's fair.
So Dick Vitale was on one last night at 11:30 at night as I was obviously being productive. And first of all, he was like, oh, weird. Louisville and Minnesota play in the first round. Couldn't have saw that one coming. Nice. And then he was also very upset that he's like, oh, weird. Wisconsin and Virginia could play again. I wonder whose dad coached at Wisconsin. So Dick Vitale, all 97 years old of him, nothing gets by him anymore. So Jake, I think you're not the only one that's seen some of these kind of like peculiar matchups and they're like, why are these schools here? Kind of how the same reason how Michigan State's like third in the, or should be like top four team in the country. And they're apparently like the eighth best seed.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we can discuss the merits.
You won the season, regular season and tournament, and you beat Michigan like three times. All right. How about you play Duke and lose?
We could debate, I think, all day about the Big Ten tournament and just how much it actually means or does not mean for that matter. With that,
doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It only means something when Wisconsin wins it.
For keeping us rolling so we all enjoy the rest of our Monday evening here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Jay Kokorowski, Owen Reese, Drew Hom here. Looking real quick at the South region, wrapping up. Who are there any upsets in this region that you're interested in? Obviously, everyone's talking the 5-12 Wisconsin Oregon matchup, but anything else that really pops out to you? You guys both said UC Irvine over Kansas State in your brackets. Are there any others that really stand out to you?
St. Mary's over Villanova.
6-11. Okay.
On the contrary, I have Villanova in the Sweet 16.
Could not be me.
I attended Villanova for one semester, and let me tell you, they are a fine basketball and higher educational institution.
I got Purdue going Sweet 16. Actually, I got them going Elite Eight, actually, and beating Tennessee. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I picked it pretty. I have Iowa over Cincinnati for some odd reason. I don't know if I trust. I know Cincinnati beat Houston, for that matter, which it was a 3 seed in the Midwest. But I don't know. I think Iowa can get it done. Yeah, I think they've shown that they can get it done at times, but I know they're flailing towards the end of the year, and McCaffrey's suspension did not help their cause as well. But
here's a question for you, Jake. Hold on, before we move on from that game, Jake, can you, without looking it up, spell Cincinnati?
Yeah, okay. Yep. Cincinnati.
Oh, there it is. I don't think I could do it.
I had to look that up like 17 times once for, I forgot what I was doing. But yeah, I thought it was baseball or something. But yeah, anyways, that's how I remember.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Looking ahead, looking beyond Wisconsin in the South region, boys, rest of the tournament, Big Ten teams. If you guys go to Bucky's fifth quarter, Drew has the big roast up weekly. Usually it's just the opponents of Wisconsin for each week. However, he has all eight teams in the Big Ten rated in strengths, weaknesses, other fun musings that we all love about that column that comes out religiously. I guess, guys, who do you think out of the conference got a good region and seed? And then who got a not so good region or seed? I think we already discussed Michigan State in that second column, but let's start with the good. Who got a good region? Who got a good seed?
I'm going to go with Michigan being a two seed, and they could potentially get a like 19-16 Florida team in the second round.
Yeah, that's a pretty good matchup. I know Michigan State should have been a one seed, but they kind of have, outside of having to play Duke in the Elite Eight, have a pretty easy draw up until then. Like, the three seed in their region is LSU, whose best player is suspended or hurt or something, and their coach is in jail with the FBI. Eh. Like,
yeah.
So here's the other thing. Michigan State could get Minnesota in the second round. And while, like, obviously they're a better team, that's just not, like, I don't know. It's another potential just street fight game. And playing someone a third time in the second round of a tournament is not ideal, if possible. I don't know. I believe they've only played. See, okay.
I think the rule is,
in my opinion. And regardless, I think just playing a familiar opponent that early in the tournament doesn't happen very often, and that's not something I would like look forward to, especially with how Amir Coffey can play. Minnesota isn't a team I would want to play again.
I never want to play Minnesota. I think they should be in like a different conference.
Can we put Minnesota in the basketball FCS?
But yeah, I mean, theoretically about the Spart, you know, what's Sparty, they could take on in the second round Minnesota, and then if Maryland beats either Belmont or Temple and then defeats and upsets LSU, which very well could happen, you could have Minnesota and then Maryland taking on Sparty in you know, the rounds of 32 and 16 respectively, which that's crazy right there. Talking about how many teams got, I think that's the first thing that popped out to me when watching those brackets yesterday when they came out of the East region, that they had three Big Ten teams lined up and all were within the bracket of, oh, hey, yeah, let's throw them all into the same area where they have to eliminate each other potentially, because people haven't seen that before. So I found that to be, I feel like that maybe goes into the second part, the bad region or the bad place, for those that love that TV show. I do. But I'm wondering about, I mean, were you guys surprised Ohio State got in?
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah. I thought they would grandfather Indiana in before Ohio State got in, to be honest.
Or even like NC State has a pretty big beef about not being in the tournament.
Notable good win for the Badgers, supposed NCAA tournament team, NC State, by the way.
Yeah, no, I found that interesting. I think Michigan, I got Michigan as one of my final four teams, by the way, in the West. I feel like they're going to beat Gonzaga. And let me ask you guys, how far do you have Marquette going?
Losing in the first round like a normal person?
Yeah, go Ja Morant.
Bro, Ja Morant's about to have 45. He's incredible. He's insane.
Have you seen that dude play basketball? He's a fucking freak of nature. It's amazing.
Hell yeah,
I was going to say, any other upsets around the region that you see happening or on that? Sorry. Are there any upsets that you guys see in the first round overall in the other three regions besides the South?
I've got two kind of big ones. I've got Nevada going to the Elite Eight.
True.
And then I have Temple coming in from the first four into the Sweet 16. Temple's best player is a guy named Shiz Alston, who went to the same high school as me. So go Fords.
Is that like a relation? Is that a relation with Rafer Alston?
Lord willing.
Hell yeah. I have Arizona State beating Buffalo in the Bobby Hurley Bowl. While I although have them losing to Texas Tech in the second round. But I do have Murray State going to the Sweet 16 and giving Gonzaga about all they want. Other than that, my bracket's pretty boring, to be honest with you. Although I want Taco Fall to dunk on Zion.
And my last question for you guys. Final four predictions. Who you got?
I have Michigan State beating Texas Tech. And I have Wisconsin's own Tyler Harrow beating Tennessee. It's setting up a Michigan State-Kentucky puke-in-my-mouth national championship game.
Yeah, that's hot. Because my mother likes to pretend she went to Duke, and she said she'd come visit and watch my kid since the Final Four is in the Twin Cities this year, I have Duke playing Gonzaga in the one half of the Final Four, and then Tennessee playing Iowa State in the other half.
Juicy. Interesting.
Iowa State with Wisconsin native Trey Halliburton, or Tyrese Halliburton, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm pretty boring. I got Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, and Michigan, and I got right now Duke and Virginia going for the national championship with Duke taking it. So I'm pretty vanilla with that.
So the first rule is that no one seeds ever make the Final Four.
Yeah, but
someone
Final Four. I don't know. I feel like Duke's gonna. I think with Zion, I just think that they're gonna take the cake there. I think it's gonna be really hard to beat. And Virginia, I just think they have enough offense this year to go along with that defense, and it's going to be tough to get anybody out of the South there. But yeah, I know. I mean, it could very well be Duke and North Carolina, you know, once again. Yeah, that'd be fun. That would be fun.
Like the only thing that scares me with Virginia is it only takes, and like, this is probably like a complete asinine thing to say because the whole tournament only takes one bad game, but all it takes is one team to shoot hot against Virginia, and they can be, I mean, they got beat by Duke, and Virginia played super well, but Duke was like 12 of 19 from three. Please don't fact check that, but they hit like everything early, and that's all it takes against teams that struggle to score at times. Is it like it takes one team being like white hot for a half and they lose? Like I said, which is kind of like probably a cop out because that's kind of how like almost any tournament game can be. But when your offense is not necessarily what you lean on, like the problem is that good offense always beats good defense. So teams that like hang their hat on that, and Wisconsin's seen this, with the exception of when they had a good offense, is that like that doesn't always fly. Like I said, I think Virginia is probably going to have a good run, but that's what always scares me with teams like that, is that they just, if they need to score, there's no guarantee they will. And if another team just, like I said, just shoots the lights out for a half, like they can be just that quick can be out and kind of get upset.
Yeah. I think to your point, people forget that Virginia was the first ever one seed to lose to a 16 seed in the NCAA tournament.
True.
People forget that, Jake.
They don't teach you that in school.
Boys, anything else you guys want to add before we take it home?
Tyler Harrow Hive.
No, I don't got anything else. No, that's not true. I do have one other thing. Ooh. I think Colgate could beat Tennessee, even though I have Tennessee going to the Final Four. They've got a guy. I wrote his name down. It's Rapolus Ivanuskis, and he's 6'10", and he shoots 43% from distance, and I'm in love with him. So go Colgate. Ruin my bracket.
And by the way, a fun joke, my parting note from our friends that cover Vanderbilt, Anchor of Gold for the SB Nation Team Brands Network. They quote tweeted a story saying five things to know about Colgate, Tennessee basketball's first NCAA tournament opponent. Their response: so many jokes in an article addressed to Tennessee fans titled Five Things to Know About Colgate. That's just, I send that to a friend of of the show, Julia Cox over at NBC 15. She's fantastic. She is the, she's a sports anchor, obviously, and sports journalist there. I sent it to her because she graduated from Tennessee. So I gave her a little bit of crap there. So I enjoyed that. On that note, boys, thank you so much for your times this evening, and pleasant viewings. And I'm looking forward to having my three TVs in the front room all set up, along with my laptop, ready to partake in all the March Madness.
This is March.
For Drew Hom, for Owen Reese, this is Jake Okorowski signing off. We'll talk to you guys. Actually, you'll hear us probably plenty more coming up this week. We'll have our podcast with Addicted to Quack, previewing Wisconsin and Oregon, and then we'll have our spring previews again, more coming up this week as well. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in a little bit here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast.